If you have your Bible, let me invite you to turn once again to the Old Testament and to the book of Zechariah, as we're going to resume after several weeks being away from this study. We're going to return to our ongoing series, afternoon series, through the Minor Prophets, so-called Minor Prophets, or the Book of the Twelve, as the ancient Jews referred to them. And we will be looking at Zechariah, and we are today at the 8th chapter, Zechariah and chapter 8. And I want to read just a couple of verses as a focal point, and then we'll come back and we'll be looking at the entirety of this chapter. But let me invite you, as you're able, let's stand together in honor of the reading and hearing of God's Word. And I'm just going to read from the very beginning of Zechariah 8. I'm going to read the first three verses, and then I'm going to read the very last verse, verse 23. And then we'll come back and look at the totality of this chapter together. So I'm reading from Zechariah chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. "Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain." And then verse 23, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." May God bless today again the reading and hearing of His Word, and let us join in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we read this afternoon from 1 Kings 17 about how you provided for your prophet Elijah in the wilderness, and even the ravens brought him food and sustenance. And you have provided for us spiritually through thy word. It has come to us supernaturally, and it has come to feed us and to edify us. And so help us to receive thy word today, and give us the discernment needed to rightly divide it. We ask this in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. And you may be seated. So again, we're returning to this exposition of the prophet Zechariah, whose name means "the Lord remembers." And that's important because he was writing in a generation where the people had been taken into exile in Babylon, and some no doubt thought that God had forgotten about them, but God hadn't forgotten about them. He remembered them. And he allowed them to come back to their homeland. And so we talk about this as the period of the restoration. After the exile, a lot of people remember that, Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Babylon. But the restoration is really the last era that's described in the Old Testament, when those exiles were allowed to return home. And we read about it in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, but also in some of our so-called minor prophets as well. Zechariah, along with the prophet Haggai, had a very important role. They were called upon by God to spur the people on to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And Zechariah was led by the Lord to do this in various ways. Sometimes he did it maybe like a parent does, scolding. You know, sometimes scolding, negative words sometimes work with our children. They're doing something wrong. We want to steer them in the right way. We say, "You're doing that wrong. You know, if you don't correct that, I'll give you a spanking," or something like that. But also, sometimes parents know how to guide with positive words. "You're doing well. And you know what? If this continues, you know, I'm gonna give you a reward. There's gonna be a blessing for you if you follow in the right ways." And so Zechariah used the whole, you know, all the arsenal of good parenting in his prophesying. And sometimes he would scold, sometimes he would encourage. And so Zechariah 8 is one of those places where it's very positive. It's a word of hope. It's a prophecy of hope given to a beleaguered people whose nation had been destroyed. Its chief city, Jerusalem, had been sacked. The temple had been laid waste. For 70 years, the exiles had been in bondage in Babylon, and they were going to be allowed to return. And this is a prophecy of hope in Zechariah 8 that Jerusalem will be restored. Even while they were in exile, we know that they would talk about Jerusalem. You can look, for example, at Psalm 137, which was written during the exile. It begins in verse 1, "By the waters of Babylon we sat down and we wept when we remembered Zion." Zion is another word for Jerusalem. Now, if you're looking at that in Psalm 137, verses 5 and 6, the psalmist says, "If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy." So for 70 years, they had been in exile. And for 70 years, they had been saying, "Don't forget Jerusalem. Don't forget Jerusalem. One day we're going to be able to go back to Jerusalem." And then Cyrus the Great, the Persian king, issued his edict, and it allowed the Israelites to return home and even to rebuild the temple. But when they returned home, they didn't find the great city that had been there before the Babylonians had come. And of course, 70 years had passed. Only the oldest people among the exiles, returning exiles, even remembered what Zion looked like. Most of the people had never seen it, but they had heard the stories of their grandparents. "Oh, Jerusalem is a wonderful city. It's a beautiful city. It's the city of David. It's got all this beautiful architecture and so forth. It's God's city." But 70 years pass, and they come back and they're like, "Where's the great city Grandma and Grandpa told me about? This place looks like a dump." And imagine, this is a city been destroyed by the Babylonians. Have you ever seen any of that war footage from the end of World War II, when Berlin was bombed and bombed by the Allies and by the Russians? And there were just piles of rubble on the streets, and people were just picking the rubble up and passing it in baskets. Berlin had been a beautiful city, and it was reduced to rubble. If you've ever been to modern Berlin, it's really amazing, because they rebuilt it, and it's a beautiful city again after having been just piles of rubble. But I imagine that Jerusalem was something like Berlin immediately after the war. It was just a pile of rocks. The beautiful temple, had been destroyed, and you can imagine that probably some of the exiles were discouraged. Will we ever be able to do this? And the Lord knew their hearts. He knew their discouragement. And so he sent through his prophet a word of hope, a prophecy of hope. One day, the city that had been humbled for its idolatry and its faithlessness would be known as a city of truth. A city of truth. So let's turn and let's look at this chapter. And the opening verse provides the introduction. "Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying." So God is speaking to Zechariah, the prophet. And you'll notice when you look at this chapter that there are a series of no less than 10 rapid fire prophecies, each introduced with the phrase, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts." 10 of these rapid-fire prophecies. Some of them are just one verse long. So I just want us to run through, and I didn't tell you ahead of time, this is a 10-point sermon. But it's not going to be that long. But anyway, it's a 10-point sermon. Bear with me. Normally I just have 3 points in a poem. I got 10 points. So I got 10 points, and it's the 10 prophecies that come from the Lord. And so the first one is in verse 2. And the theme of this is God's jealousy for Zion. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury." And when it says he was jealous for Zion, it means that he cared about Jerusalem. They should never think that God did not care about them. The second of my 10 points, verse 3. "Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. And the theme of this second prophecy is that God will be Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. He will return. He will dwell in the midst of His people. He will bless them. And the city that had been filled with lies about God, lies about His character, it will be called a city of truth. And the city that had been disgusting and sinful, it will be called a holy mountain, a set-apart mountain. And so there's a great blessing that is declared over the city. The third of these ten prophecies is in verses 4 and 5. And here the God says through His prophet that the population of the city shall be replenished, and it will be filled from the aged to children. Look at verses 4 and 5. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. And so this desolate city, the city that had its population decimated because people had been killed and they had been carried off into exile, God says there's coming a day when this city will be filled with people, and it will be filled with all types of people. It will be an intergenerational city. The elder people will be there. The youngest will be there. And so it's a great word of hope. And I couldn't help but think as I read this about what the church ought to be, right? I remember when we were looking for a church years ago when we lived in Louisville, Kentucky. And there were a lot of Baptist churches in Louisville. And we went to a bunch looking for a home church. And it was kind of like Goldilocks. We just couldn't find the one that was just right. But I remember going to one church in particular. And I was in my 20s at the time. And everybody there was in their 20s. Everybody in the church. Like, you walked in and like everybody was like our age. They were, you know, 20, 23, 24, 25. And, you know, we both said, this really is a church we want to be part of. We want to be in a church that has people that are older than we are. We want to be able to look to them. And we want to be in a church that has people younger than we are. We want to be able to look to them also. And, you know, I love the scene there where there'll be boys and girls playing in the street. And you kids who are here, children, and parents of younger children, do you know how encouraging it is that you're here in our church? I mean, it's so sad when you go into a church that doesn't have any children. And you don't hear the sound of babies. Don't worry about the sound of babies. That's boys and girls playing in our streets. We're happy. That means we have a future. That means we're gonna pass the faith down, God willing, to you, and you're gonna take it and run with it. That's encouraging to us. And that was so encouraging to Jerusalem, because the prophet had a vision of older people and younger people and all the people in between being in that city, filling that city again. The fourth prophecy, fourth of ten, sorry, I gotta pick up the pace. We're gonna be here all afternoon, aren't we? Is in verse 6, where the theme is that this shall be marvelous in the eyes of the people and marvelous in God's sight. Here's our start, as typical. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of His people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts. If you think this is wonderful, He says to the people, it's going to be wonderful in my eyes too, when the city is repopulated. The fifth of the ten prophecies is in verses 7 and 8. Here the message is, the scattered remnant will be brought back home. The scattered remnant will be brought back home. So look at verses 7 and 8. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country. That means the diaspora, those who have been carried off into exile, east and west. And I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth Remember, it's a city of truth and in righteousness. So he says a family reunion is coming where those who have been dispersed. Have you seen any of those viral videos when like maybe somebody in the military, they come home and they surprise their family in a restaurant or a football game or something like that? Imagine that kind of scene where he's saying the people who have been in exile will be brought home. They will be brought back to Jerusalem and God will be in the midst of them. The sixth of these 10 points, verses 9 through 13. Now, this is a longer prophecy about restoration. It begins in verse 9 with a call for strength and resolve in rebuilding the temple. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. In other words, listen to Zechariah. Listen to Haggai. Listen to the officers. And follow the instructions that they are giving to you to rebuild the temple, to restore the temple. And then he promises in verses 10 and 11 that the old days of God's chastening have passed and new times are coming. Verse 10, for before these days there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast, neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction. For I set all men, everyone, against his neighbor. So in the past you knew competition and rivalry and fighting. Now, verse 11, but now I will not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days, saith the Lord. So the days of God's chastening have come to an end. And now they will receive blessing. They will receive blessings in their fields through abundance of crops. Verse 12, for the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due. And I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. And ultimately the curse, what had seemed like a curse, will be removed. Verse 13, and it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and you shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. And notice how this prophecy from verses 9 to 13 begins with, let your hands be strong. And it ends with, but let your hands be strong. And so there's like a bookend of an exhortation there in verses 9 and 13. The seventh of these 10 prophecies is in verses 14 through 17. It's another extended prophecy. And this one includes a call for transformed living. It begins in verse 14 with our standard introduction. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not, so again have I thought in these days to dwell unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear ye not. And so he tells them that although he has not relented of his chastening of the people, he did not in the past. Now things have changed. He tells them not to fear. And here's the ethical exhortation. He's calling for transformed lives. As he says in verse 16, these are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. If you're going to be a city of truth, you have to speak the truth. And you have to act truthfully and justly. I thought about what Paul said in Ephesians, where he said that believers are to speak the truth in love. And he says in verse 17, and let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath, for all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. And so he's calling for, based on God's grace and mercy in response, a life that is ethically transformed, where there's truthfulness, where there's love of neighbor that overflows among the brethren. And we saw something kind of similar in chapter 7, if you remember. He had said in chapter 7, verses 9 and following, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassions every man to his brother. verse 10 of chapter 7, "And oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart." The eighth of these 10 prophecies is verses 18 and 19. Here, the message is the times of fasting will be turned into times of feasting. And we saw last time, you might remember in chapter 7, how there were certain times that were set apart for fasting. In the fifth month they were fasted because they were mourning the fall of Jerusalem, the fall of the temple. In the seventh month they fasted because they were mourning the assassination of the last Jewish ruler over Judea when the Babylonians took over. And now, though, he says the times of fasting are changed into times of feasting. Verse 18, "And the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth, shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness, and cheerful feasts. Therefore, love the truth and peace." And so there's this, you know, promise that your days of fasting will come to an end, and the days of feasting will replace them. The ninth of these 10 exhortations in verses 20 through 22, this is a prophecy that the nations shall come to seek the Lord. And so while they were in exile, Israel was a laughingstock. The Babylonians ridiculed them. Again, read Psalm 137 to hear about that. But now, he says, you're going to be the nation that other nations will want to come. They're going to want to come and seek your wisdom, seek your God. And so he says in verse 20, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, Let us go speedily to pray before the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord." You know, the great thing that had happened to Israel while they were in exile is they realized that God was not just a God of their ethnic nation, but He was a God of the nations. And that all people were being called to know this one true God. And you know, this, you could go back to Abraham. Abraham was called out to be in covenant with God. And in Genesis 12:3, God said to Abraham that through your seed all the nations will be blessed. And so here Zechariah is given a word from God that through you something will happen in Jerusalem, through which all the nations on earth will be blessed. I wonder what will happen in Jerusalem, to which all the nations of the world will be blessed. And then it ends in verse 23. The 10th. Did I make it through 10 points? 10-point sermon. Here's the 10th point. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all the languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." And so again, for a people who have been despised, people who have been in exile, here's a promise from God that men from all nations who speak different languages will come, and they will grab upon your skirt, And they will say, "We will go with you because we have heard God is with you. We've heard Emmanuel is with you." But friends, we've made it through our 10 points. And we've looked at this prophecy of hope. And what do we learn from it? This chapter shows us God's kindness. It shows us His mercy to those who were exiles. And it promises that there is restoration, there is hope in Him. Though they had been through a horrible ordeal, they had seen horrible things, they had terrible injustices done against them, God is telling them through His prophet that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and no, it's not another train coming at you. There's light at the end of the tunnel. This chapter illustrates the wisdom of Psalm 30, verse 5, which says, "For His anger endureth but a moment. In His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." There had been a 70-year night of weeping, but joy was coming. They were being restored to their homeland. And what else would happen in Jerusalem? In the providence of God, in the fullness of time, there would be one who would be born in Bethlehem. And he would be born of a woman, born under the law. And he would go about preaching and teaching and healing. And then, at the apex of his ministry, he would come to Jerusalem and he would lay down his life a ransom for many. And he would die on the cross, be placed in a tomb, and he would be raised the third day. And then after that, he was ascended after 40 days. And then his disciples were left in Jerusalem, about 120 of them. And the Holy Spirit was poured out in Jerusalem at Pentecost. And men from all the different nations heard the gospel. And they began to cling to those Jewish apostles who had been with Christ, as if they were grasping them by the skirt and saying, "We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. We have heard that Emmanuel is with you." Through Christ and through His Jewish apostles, all nations have been blessed. We have grabbed onto, as it were, the skirts of the apostles. Like the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8, who went to Jerusalem to the temple, and then as he returned home, ran into Philip and was trying to read the Old Testament. And Philip said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I unless I be guided?" We too have taken hold of Christ. We who were not a people have been made part of the people of God. We who were once aliens and strangers have found the city of truth. And we have been made full citizens through Christ. All praise be to Him for the city of truth. Amen. We invite you to stand together. Let's join in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we give Thee thanks for Thy servant Zechariah and for this word of hope that He gave to the exiles that was fitting in their context and must have encouraged them. But now, looking back at this, we see the greater message of what was to come, that you would be building a kingdom, and that Christ is our King, and that we would be made full citizens of that commonwealth that He has formed. And we who are Gentiles would be brought near through the blood of Christ. And so we give Thee today all praise and glory and honor. Help us as we meditate upon this and prepare our hearts also for coming to the table together this afternoon. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.